Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Israel has lost this so-called war. Now, before we discuss the murderous onslaught against Rafah, which is in the south of Gaza, bear in mind what I just said there. Israel has suffered a catastrophic defeat, militarily, strategically, politically, morally. It has failed in its stated war aims, defeating Hamas, who will never be defeated by military means, as any seasoned military expert will tell you. Indeed, they have taken over much of the destroyed areas of Gaza that the IDF has withdrawn from. They haven't brought back the hostages. Well, the vast majority of those who were released, of course, only were so because of a ceasefire and negotiated prisoner exchange. And Israel has killed far more of its own hostages than it has rescued by military means. Israel's international reputation has all but completely collapsed. In the states it depends on for weapons and diplomatic support, public opinion has swung decisively and irreversibly against it. In the months and years ahead, the uncritical support it has received from those states will unravel. Too many people have seen things they cannot unsee, heard things they can't unhear, read things they cannot unread. That goes particularly for younger generations who will increasingly assert themselves politically. Now, much of the world already treated Israel as a rogue state. That position will now be cemented. The fact that a new generation of younger Jewish Americans repudiate what Israel stands for should terrify it the most. If the Israeli state was capable of acting rationally, that is, even in its own narrow, selfish strategic interests, it would understand all of this. Alas, it cannot, because it has been overwhelmed by genocidal fervour and is suffering the fate of a settler colonial state which refuses to come to terms with what it's done to the indigenous population it has displaced and oppressed. And it is trapped in an internal cycle of hateful radicalisation which will end very badly for it, and crucially, which has catastrophic implications for its allies and patrons. Now, that is not much consolation for the people of Gaza in the here and now, of course. Let's focus on Rafah, which itself offers profound clues about Israel's impending loss. Netanyahu's regime has no interest in a ceasefire, one which will lead to Netanyahu's fall from power and potential domestic prosecution for corruption and potential war crimes indictment by the International Criminal Court. If any such ceasefire happens, it will be because it has been forced on Israel. Now, as an article in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz puts it, to keep Netanyahu's partners on board and prevent them from preempting an election in which Likud will be decimated and he will be turfed out of office, he needs to keep the total victory myth alive, and that is only possible by avoiding a deal with Hamas. Now, if we just turn to look at what Hamas accepted as a ceasefire deal, because that left the Israeli state blindsided. Cheers went up in Gaza amongst the desperate and traumatised population when they heard the news. But Israeli officials briefed the proposal that was approved by Hamas was a watered-down version of Egypt's offer and included elements Israel could not accept, adding, this would appear to be a ruse intended to make Israel look like the side refusing a deal, briefed an Israeli official. Well, yes, the appearances are based on what Israel is in fact doing. Now, crucially, Israel turned on their US protectors, claiming CIA Director Bill Burns and other Biden administration officials involved in negotiations knew about the proposal but didn't tell Israel, and the last touches were made in Doha with the Biden administration's knowledge. They say that the Israeli officials say that Israel got played by the United States. But according to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, according to a foreign diplomatic source familiar with the negotiations, the outline Hamas accepted Monday night is at its core the same as the Egyptian proposal, which Israel had already approved. Now, since Sunday, the CIA chief William Burns and Qatari Prime Minister have had several meetings during which an outline was reached based on the existing proposal. And it was this that enabled the breakthrough to Hamas's acceptance of the deal. Another diplomat closely familiar with the proposal said that the ball is now in Netanyahu's court. So that very much contradicts what the Israeli state has said about the circumstances of Hamas accepting a ceasefire. Now, the US has played, of course, a pivotal role in Israel's genocidal campaign, providing the weapons and diplomatic support. But with US public opinion swinging decisively against Israel, it turns out, like most of us, most Americans don't actually like watching innocent civilians, including huge numbers of children, being slaughtered. So the Biden administration, which faces possible defeat against Donald Trump in November's presidential election, decided they just couldn't contain the consequences of an onslaught against Rafah. That is, of course, where most of Gaza's population, who've been forcibly displaced by Israel, are now sheltering. Most of Gaza, of course, has been destroyed. Rafah is the last place which hasn't been ravaged by an Israeli ground assault. Now, Palestinians were told if they fled to the south, they would be safe. That was a lie. Israel has repeatedly dropped 2,000-pound bombs on so-called safe zones in the south. And crucially, the nearby southern city of Khan Yunis has been virtually destroyed. And they said over and over again, made it clear that the south would not suffer the sorts of fate of the north. And yet we can see what happened to Khan Yunis. Estimates of 90% of its buildings ruined. Perhaps the most ravaged part now of Gaza. Now, the Rafah crossing, that's what connects Gaza to Egypt, is also absolutely crucial for any humanitarian aid to enter Gaza, as this spokesperson for the Norwegian Refugee Council made clear yesterday.
If a Rafah offensive takes place in full force, that would lead to the collapse of the aid response that is really reliant on the Rafah hub to distribute aid, to organize aid throughout that area.
Well, Israeli forces have seized control of the Rafah crossing. Israeli soldiers filmed themselves crushing an I Love Gaza sign. Well, that's the perfect visual metaphor for an onslaught defined by mass slaughter and destruction, an attempt to erase Gaza from the face of the earth.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Now let's focus on the humanitarian consequences of seizing the Rafah crossing. Let's just listen to this spokesperson from Gaza's main humanitarian agency, UNRWA.
What impact this border crossing has had? The closure of the crossing, I should say.
Yeah, the closure of the crossing since Sunday is having catastrophic impacts on everyone in Gaza. Since October, this has been the main entry point for goods coming into Gaza. There has only been a trickle of goods coming in. And since Sunday, the crossing has been closed completely. And this has devastating impacts for the people of Gaza who are already on the verge of famine. So no aid coming in means no aid distributed after a couple of days. And equally importantly, Rafah, Kerem Shalom are the only entry point for fuel in Gaza. So without the fuel, there's no ability for trucks to move around. There's no ability for desalination plants to operate and provide safe water. There's no electricity. It cuts off everything. Rafah, Kerem Shalom, they're the lifeblood for the small amounts of goods that have been coming into Gaza since October. So absolutely devastating. So
now, Israel has pursued a deliberate policy of starvation. It has explicitly and publicly and repeatedly promised it would do that from the start. And what it did was block aid from getting in, impose lengthy and intentionally onerous screening processes, arbitrarily banning crucial aid from getting in over and over again, refusing to open sufficient crossings, waging an all-out war against UNRWA, the biggest humanitarian agency, with a smear campaign based on no evidence, then blocking it in particular from accessing the worst hit areas of northern Gaza, allowing far-right Israeli protesters to block aid from getting in, destroying roads in Gaza so aid can't travel, killing more aid workers than in any other conflict in recorded history, including foreign aid workers, so that foreign NGO suspended their work, killing police officers charged with protecting aid convoys, repeatedly massacring Palestinians when they were searching for that food, and at the same time destroying Gaza's domestic food production and agriculture. We could go on, you know, blocking fuel from getting in so you can't get the aid around. Now, they've seized the Rafah crossing where aid comes in, most of it. Well, everything we know about Israel's behaviour suggests that spells catastrophe for Gaza as a whole. The Rafah crossing was also the only place Palestinians could flee this genocidal carnage.
Main target was to control Rafah crossing. In fact, what we have been seeing is that Israeli military tanks were stationed inside the Rafah crossing, as we have been seeing images emerging there for these tanks as they have been just moving on the yards of the crossing from inside. And that's absolutely devastating because this is the only point that Palestinians have been using for travel uproad and to leave the Gaza Strip. But now no longer Palestinians will be able to leave the territory.
Let's listen to the brilliantly courageous Al Jazeera correspondent Hind Chowdhury on the mood amongst Palestinians there.
All of these people have no idea where they're going because it's Deir al-Balah and the central area is also packed. We're talking about UN facilities, hospitals, schools, even empty agricultural lands are now tents and hundreds of thousands of people settled there. Displaced multiple times from place to another, from central to the south. Palestinians are left in despair and fear, not knowing where to go, where no place in the Gaza Strip is safe.
Here's a Palestinian refugee in Rafah reporting just how grave their plight there is.
All the options are finished for us. There is no safe place to go to, especially that we have family members, children, and elderly sick people. It will be very hard for us to move from Rafah to another place. There is no other place.
Let me tell you about Nahadir, who is a former Palestinian journalist who I interviewed on this channel earlier this year. Now, we raised enough money, thanks to you, over £85,000 to get him and his family out of Gaza, including not just his children, but the kids of his brother, who was killed by the Israeli state. Fortunately, it's not that straightforward. We thought we were close to getting him out, but we haven't managed to get him out yet. And more to the point, we haven't managed to get him and his family out in time, given what's just happened in Rafah. The night before last, from Rafah, he sent us a message. He said, "It's 3 o'clock now after midnight. We didn't sleep at all. The rockets around us from every side, just tens of meters. Numbers of close neighbors have been killed. It's partly of killing kids, newborn, women and old, in addition to men and young people. We do not know if we will survive or not if this continues till morning. It is one of the hardest nights in Rafah. Love you all, my friend. Salam." When I messaged him later, he said, "They forced us to leave Rafah from its eastern area to Khan Yunis city. We just reached. I can't describe what is Khan Yunis. It is totally destroyed. It's something like end of the world movies. Horrible, sad, empty, death everywhere, no inhabitants." He told me to share these messages with the world, to tell the people what those criminals do. He added, "It's part of their military operation against the civilians to destroy the city as they did previously with Gaza and Khan Yunis. They are bloodthirsty," he adds. I asked him about food and he says they have the bare minimum quantity and the worst quality. Now, I've seen hideous footage of the horrors unleashed by Israel since the Rafah offensive, including two children crushed to death, the tongue of one of them squashed out of his skull, the eye of the other squashed out of his skull as well. In other videos, first responders pick up the organs and remains of bodies from rubble, while a child, her clothes incinerated, her skin caught, scorched off her body, screams with pain. If these victims were not Palestinians, if they were Westerners, these kids, those responsible for these barbarities would be denounced quite correctly as amongst the worst monsters of our time. But indeed, one of the great atrocities of our age continues, facilitated by our governments every step of the way, despite their hand-wringing. Now it's much, much too late. Now, Netanyahu declares the entry into Rafah serves two of the main objectives of the war, returning our hostages and eliminating Hamas. We have already proven in the previous release of hostages that military pressure on Hamas is an essential condition for the return of our hostages. I mean, it's just rewriting history here, given that was a ceasefire agreement. That's what allowed those hostages to be released because of the cessation of fire. Now, he says the Hamas proposal yesterday was designed to torpedo the entry of our forces into Rafah. That did not happen, as the war cabinet unanimously determined the Hamas proposal was very far from Israel's core demands. In the rest of his statement, he declares he won't allow Hamas to restore what he calls its regime of evil, that a delegation will be sent to Cairo for ceasefire talks with that in mind. But meanwhile, Israel will continue the war on Hamas, as he puts it, in truth, of course, a war on the Palestinian people of Gaza. Now, the Israeli anti-war academic, Ori Goldberg, suggests the Rafah offensive is for domestic consumption and for the appeasement of Netanyahu's base, that a deal will be signed within the week, that Netanyahu is doing this to look tough on Hamas while bringing hostages home, via deal, that is, and hopes that the Israeli public is so used to him that he will remain in power. This academic adds, this only makes the situation more shameful for the international community for Gaza. And he concludes the genocide in Gaza is even more serious for the indifferent, careless way it was carried out, seemingly at no cost. When this horror is over, the international community should acknowledge its complicity and Israel should face the consequences of his actions. Well, whatever the truth of this analysis, and obviously we must desperately hope for the violence to end, his final conclusion is, of course, correct. Yes, Israel will continue to inflict horrific suffering and mayhem. There's no question about that, I'm afraid to say. But it has lost. Israel will never recover from this. It spent 7 months waging a war of annihilation against a strip of land no bigger than East London, and it has failed in its war aims, exposed its weakness, brutally widened its own internal divisions, and turned global public opinion, not least in the States, which prop it up, against it. They have lost. And whatever happens in Rafah now will simply underline that loss. If they commit more atrocities, more suffering, then they will pay an even greater price than they're already going to pay. But it's up to us to turn that loss into justice. That is justice for the Palestinian people. Because as things stand, they are a desperate, cornered animal. And I think we all know that desperate, cornered animals can inflict the worst damage yet. Please like and subscribe. Do leave your comments. We'd love to hear your thoughts as ever, which I always read. Do share this video, listen to us on the podcast, and keep the show on the road. Help us take on the pro-war media at patreon.com/Andreas84. I'll speak to you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.